And here we go again. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 20 Questions Quiz Podcast. Today, we're embarking on a journey of celebration and recognition as we pay tribute to the remarkable women who have left an indelible mark on history, culture, and society. In this episode, our final five questions are dedicated to honouring the achievements, contributions, and enduring legacies of women in all walks of life, from influential artists, visionary leaders, and sporting firsts. We'll shine a light on their remarkable stories and enduring impact. If you're joining us for the first time on 20 Questions, a reminder of the rules. 20 questions, each one harder than the last. 10 seconds to answer each question. One wrong move, game over. So, how far will you go? Can you get 20 right in a row? Let's find out as we play 20 Questions. So as always, we start incredibly easy, but we get harder as we go along. Question one. Here we go again. Settle back, settle in. Let me begin. Your first question is this. How many wheels does a bicycle have? How many wheels does a bicycle have?
Five, four, three, two, one.
A bicycle typically has two wheels. Two is the right answer. Question two. What is the capital city of Russia? What is the capital city of Russia?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The capital city of Russia is Moscow. Moscow being the right answer. Question three is this. How many suits are there in a standard deck of cards? How many suits are there in a standard deck of cards?
Five, four, three, two, one.
A standard deck of cards contains four suits. Hearts, diamonds, clubs, and spades. Each suit consisting of 13 cards, making a total of 52 in the deck. Question number four. Lionel Messi plays international football for which country? Lionel Messi plays international football for which country?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Lionel Messi plays international football for Argentina. Argentina, the right answer. Question number five. How many squares are there on a chessboard? How many squares are there on a chessboard?
Five, four, three, two, one.
A standard chessboard consists of 64 squares in total. These squares are arranged in an 8x8 grid with alternating colours, usually black and white. So a nice easy start for you. Now we get a little bit more difficult. Question number six deals with music, and it's this. Jim Kerr is the lead singer of which 80s iconic pop group? Jim Kerr is the lead singer of which 80s iconic pop group?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Jim Kerr is the lead singer of the iconic 80s pop group Simple Minds. Simple Minds, the right answer. And leading on to question seven, one of Simple Minds' greatest hits was Don't You Forget About Me. From which cult film was this the soundtrack? One of Simple Minds' greatest hits was Don't You Forget About Me. From which cult film was this the soundtrack?
Five, four, three, two, one.
one of my all-time favourite films, Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds, was featured in the soundtrack of the cult film The Breakfast Club, directed by John Hughes. The Breakfast Club, the right answer. Question number 8. Guernica is a famous piece of art by which artist? Guernica is a famous piece of art by which artist?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Guernica is a monumental painting created by the Spanish artist Pablo Picasso in response to the bombing of the Basque town of Guernica during the Spanish Civil War. Completed in 1937, this powerful artwork has since become one of the most iconic symbols of the atrocities of war. The painting depicts the horrors of the bombing with twisted, anguished figures and animals filling the canvas. Picasso utilized a monochromatic palette of grey, black and white to convey the bleakness and devastation of the event. The chaotic composition and fragmented forms add to the sense of chaos and suffering. At the center of the painting is a bull, symbolizing brutality and violence, and a horse representing the innocent victims of war. Surrounding them are distorted human figures, including a grieving mother holding her dead child and a screaming woman with outstretched arms. The use of expressive symbolism and abstraction heightens the emotional impact of the artwork. Guernica is not only a powerful condemnation of the horrors of war, but also a timeless expression of human suffering and resilience. It has become a universal symbol of peace and a reminder of the importance of standing against violence and oppression. Today, the painting is housed in the Museo Reina Sofia in Madrid, where it continues to inspire and provoke contemplation on the human condition. Question number 9. On which mode of transportation would you find a dead man's handle? On which mode of transportation would you find a dead man's handle?
Five, four, three, two, one.
A dead man's handle is a safety feature found on various modes of transportation, but most importantly, a train. It's typically a control mechanism and requires continuous pressure or operation by the handler to remain active. If the operator becomes incapacitated or releases the handle, it automatically triggers a safety response, such as stopping the vehicle or machinery to prevent accidents. In the context of trains, for example, the dead man's handle must be continuously held by the train driver to keep the train moving. If the driver releases it, the brakes are automatically applied, bringing the train to a stop. This safety feature helps ensure the safety of passengers and operators by preventing accidents caused by the operator becoming incapacitated or losing control. Question number 10. Which South American country is entirely south of the Tropic of Capricorn? Which South American country is entirely south of the Tropic of Capricorn?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The South American country that is entirely south of the Tropic of Capricorn is Uruguay. Uruguay is the right answer. So we're halfway through this edition of 20 questions. Questions to come if you are still remaining in the game and got the first 10 right. We have 10 more challenges for you, and they are going to be on airports, poetry, collective nouns, tarot cards, James Bond, and we have our final 5 questions dedicated to women. Question 11 of 20 is on James Bond, the music of James Bond. Who sung the title track to the James Bond film From Russia With Love? Who sung the title track to the James Bond film From Russia With Love?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
An English singer known for his smooth and velvety voice performed the title track to the James Bond film From Russia With Love. His name, Matt Munro. The song, which shares its name with the movie, was composed by John Barry and lyrics by Lionel Bart. Released in 1963 as the second James Bond film. The track became an integral part of the James Bond franchise, contributing to its iconic status. Munro's interpretation of From Russia With Love remains one of the classic Bond theme songs, celebrated for its timeless charm and elegance. In addition to Munro's version, the instrumental theme composed by John Barry is also prominently featured throughout the film, further enhancing the cinematic experience and cementing From Russia With Love as a beloved entry in the James Bond series. Question 12 of 20 is this. How many cards are there in a standard deck of tarot cards? How many cards are there in a standard deck of tarot cards?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now this is a question, you either know it or you're guessing here. It's 52 cards in a standard deck of playing cards, but in tarot cards, there are 78. 78 cards in a standard deck of tarot cards. These cards are divided into two main groups. The Major Arcana, consisting of 22 cards representing life events and archetypal themes, and the Minor Arcana, which consists of 56 cards divided into four suits, usually cups, pentacles, swords, and wands, with 14 cards each representing more everyday aspects of life. Question 13. Back by popular demand, collective nouns. We did this last week on animal groups. I know one or two of you seem to enjoy that, so we'll test your knowledge on him again. Question 13 of 20 is this. Which five-syllable word is a collective noun for a group of parrots? Which five-syllable word is a collective noun for a group of parrots?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
If there wasn't such an apt word for a group of parrots, I do not know what is. The five-syllable word that serves as the collective noun for a group of parrots is a pandemonium. A pandemonium is the collective noun for a group of parrots. Question 14. Poetry. Which poet stated that no man is an island? Which poet stated that no man is an island?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The poet who famously stated that no man is an island is John Donne. This line is from his work Meditation 17, which is part of his Devotions Upon Emergent Occasions, a series of meditations and prayers. The full quote is, "No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main." Question 15. YYZ is the IATA airport code for which international airport? YYZ is the IATA airport code for which international airport?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
YYZ is the international airport code for Toronto Pearson International Airport. YYZ is the primary international airport serving the Greater Toronto Area and surrounding regions in Ontario, Canada. It is situated in the city of Mississauga, about 22 and a half kilometres northwest of downtown Toronto. As Canada's busiest airport, Toronto Pearson handles a significant volume of domestic and international air traffic. It serves as a hub for numerous airlines and offers connections to destinations worldwide, making it a key transportation hub in North America. So we made it to the final five. And the final five questions on this week edition of 20 Questions pays tribute to women. The final five questions will test you on film, politics, art, the Bible, and sport. Each a different tribute to women. Question 16 of 20 is this. Film. Who is the youngest actress to win the Best Actress Oscar? Who is the youngest actress to win the Best Actress Oscar?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now, did some of you go for Jennifer Lawrence here? She was young when she won her Best Actress Oscar for Silver Linings Playbook. She was about 22, 23. But somebody was younger. Marlee Matlin made history at the 58th Academy Awards in 1986 when she became the youngest actress to win the Best Actress Oscar. Matlin was just 21 years old at the time, marking a remarkable achievement in her career and in the history of the Academy Awards. Matlin's groundbreaking win came for her role as Sarah Norman in the film Children of a Lesser God, directed by Rhonda Haynes. The film tells the story of a romance between a deaf woman, played by Matlin, and a hearing teacher at a school for the deaf, played by William Hurt. Matlin's portrayal of Sarah earned widespread acclaim for its authenticity, emotional depth, and nuanced performance. What makes Matlin's win even more remarkable is that she is the only deaf performer to have won the Academy Award for Best Actress. Her triumph not only highlighted her exceptional talent, but also broke barriers and raised awareness about representation and opportunities for deaf actors in the film industry. Question 17 of 20. Politics. Which free governing country was the first to allow women the right to vote? Which free governing country was the first to allow women the right to vote?
Five, four, three, two, one.
In 1893, New Zealand made history by becoming the first self-governing country in the world to grant women the right to vote in national elections. This significant achievement was the result of years of campaigning by women's suffrage activists who fought tirelessly for equal rights and representation. The movement for women's suffrage in New Zealand gained momentum in the late 19th century, fueled by growing demand for social justice and equality. Women such as Kate Sheppard, Mari T. Kai Mangakahia, and others led the charge, organizing petitions, rallies, and public awareness campaigns to advocate for their cause. The culmination of these efforts came with the passage of the Electoral Act on September 19, 1893. The Act granted all adult women, regardless of ethnicity or property ownership, the right to vote in parliamentary elections. This landmark legislation was a groundbreaking step towards gender equality and political empowerment, setting a precedent for other countries to follow. New Zealand's decision to enfranchise women was met with both praise and criticism. reflecting the deep-seated societal attitudes towards gender roles and women's rights at the time. However, the success of the suffrage movement in New Zealand inspired similar campaigns in other parts of the world, ultimately leading to the gradual expansion of women's suffrage rights globally. The achievement of women's suffrage in New Zealand marked a significant milestone in the ongoing struggle for gender equality and paved the way for women's participation in political and public life. Today, New Zealand is celebrated as a pioneer in women's rights, with its historical decision to grant women the right to vote serving as a powerful symbol of progress and social change. Three to go. Question 18. Art. In 2014, which artwork by Georgia O'Keeffe sold for $44.4 million? At the time, it was the highest selling piece of artwork by a female artist. In 2014, which artwork by Georgia O'Keeffe sold for $44.4 million? At the time, the highest selling piece of artwork by a female artist.
Five, four, three, two, one.
In 2014, the artwork called Jimson Weed / White Flower Number 1 by Georgia O'Keeffe sold for $44.4 million at auction. This sale set a record at the time for the highest price ever paid for a work by a female artist. Georgia O'Keeffe was a prominent American artist, known for her distinctive style of modernist paintings, often featuring enlarged and abstract flowers, landscapes and other natural forms. Jimson Weed / White Flower Number 1 is one of her iconic floral paintings, characterized by its large scale and bold, vibrant colors. The record-breaking sale of this artwork highlighted O'Keeffe's enduring influence and the growing recognition of female artists in the art market. Two to go. Question 19 of 20 is on the Bible. According to the book of Genesis, who was the first woman to bear twins? According to the book of Genesis, who was the first woman to bear twins?
Five, four, three, two, one.
In the book of Genesis, Rebecca was the first woman to bear twins. Rebecca's story begins with Abraham, Isaac's father, who sends a servant to find a wife for Isaac. The servant, guided by God, meets Rebecca at a well and recognizes her as the chosen bride for Isaac. Rebecca agrees to marry Isaac and accompanies the servant back to Isaac's home. After Rebecca marries Isaac, she struggles with infertility. However, Isaac prays to the Lord on Rebecca's behalf and she conceives. Rebecca's pregnancy is tumultuous as she feels the twins struggling within her womb. Seeking guidance, she inquires of the Lord, who tells her that two nations are in her womb and the older will serve the younger. Rebecca gave birth to twins named Esau and Jacob. Esau was born first, followed by Jacob, who was holding onto Esau's heel as he was born, hence the name Jacob, which means he grasps the heel or he deceives in Hebrew. As the twins grow, they develop contrasting personalities and interests. Esau becomes a skilled hunter, favored by Isaac, while Jacob is more inclined towards domestic tasks and is favored by Rebecca. The narrative of Rebecca and her twin sons, Esau and Jacob, is central to the themes of sibling rivalry, parental favoritism, and divine providence in the book of Genesis. Rebecca's role as the mother of twins sets the stage for significant events in the lives of her sons, shaping their destinies and the course of biblical history. So we have made it. 19 down, one to go. Question 20 of 20 is this, and it's on women in sport. Question 20 of 20 on this edition of 20 questions is this. Who was the first woman to officially run a marathon? Who was the first woman to officially run a marathon?
Five, four, three, two, one.
We are going back to 1967, and her name is Catherine Switzer. She made history as the first woman to officially run the Boston Marathon in 1967. At that time, the marathon, like many other long-distance races, was considered a men-only event. Switzer registered for the race using her initials, K.V. Switzer, to conceal her gender from the organizers. On race day, Switzer joined the other runners at the starting line, wearing the official bib number 261. However, a few miles into the race, officials noticed that a woman was running among the male participants. One of the race directors, Jock Semple, attempted to forcibly remove Switzer from the course, but she was protected by her male companions, including her boyfriend at the time, who blocked Semple's efforts. There is a picture of that on our Twitter page at 20 Questions Quiz. Despite the commotion, Switzer continued to run and completed the race, crossing the finish line in approximately 4 hours and 20 minutes. Her participation in the Boston Marathon garnered widespread media attention and sparked discussions about gender equality in sports. Switzer's courageous act challenged the prevailing attitudes and stereotypes about women's athletic abilities and paved the way for other women to participate in long-distance running events. In subsequent years, more women began entering and competing in marathons and other endurance races, leading to greater recognition and acceptance of female athletes in the sport. In addition to her groundbreaking run in the Boston Marathon, Catherine Switzer continued to advocate for women's participation in sports throughout her career. She became a prominent figure in the running community, using her platform to promote gender equality and empower women to pursue their athletic goals. Switzer's legacy as a pioneer and trailblazer in women's running remains an inspiration to athletes all around the world. What a great tale to end this edition of 20 Questions. Did you reach the finish line this week, or did you pull up? Where did you come unstuck? Let me know on Twitter at 20 Questions Quiz, or drop me an email, 20questionsquiz@gmail.com. All the details are in this episode description. A reminder, the 20 Questions continues every Thursday, 6 a.m. New episodes will drop. Do not forget to subscribe. Thank you so much once again for your company. From me, Johnny Bryan, tell your friends, tell your family. Let's see how far they can go on 20 Questions. Till next time, see you soon. Bye for now.